Would you turn your Bibles with me to John's Gospel? You know, in the world and in the centuries gone by, people have wandered from places to places to find peace of mind, to find happiness, to find joy. But over the years that have eluded them, they have not been able to lay hold of those things for which they seek, because they have left the one thing that, or the one person that can give us all these things. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and he is also the fountain of life and fountain of joy and gladness. And that can be ours even today. Some of us don't have it, some have it, but it is offered to everybody on a condition that we read. Maybe before we read this verse from John, we can go back to Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10. It says, "And the redeemed of the Lord will walk there." That's the last line of verse 9. "And the ransomed of the Lord will return." And how will they come back? How will they return? It says here that they will come with joyful shouting to Zion. Zion is the church of the living God. They will come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy, not temporary joy, everlasting joy which nobody can take from you, which will not dry out, which will not dry up. It is an everlasting joy upon their heads, and they will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You want to experience this kind of joy and gladness and shouting, joyful shouting? There's a condition just above that. You need to be redeemed. You need to be ransomed. How that can happen? That can happen only when you come and acknowledge before this Almighty God, who is the creator of the whole universe, who came to this earth as a Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He came and died for you and me on the cross. And this is the man who said these words that I am going to read to you from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus says here, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." Not half, not three quarter, but full. Why is he saying that? And when is he saying these words? Jesus is saying these words, I hope you know that chapters 13, 14, 15, 16 and 17 of John's Gospel, they were the last words or the discourse of Jesus upon, in the upper room, just a few hours before his crucifixion. I don't think there is any human being on this earth who has ever said words like this just before his execution. And he says, "I have spoken these things to you, that your joy may be, my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." How is it that Jesus had this fullness of joy bubbling all the time, even on the last day of his life on earth? There's a secret to that. And you and I can come to that if we fulfill that condition. And that secret we are told in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 9. It is God the Father telling Jesus. It says here, the Lord is telling, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness," means iniquity. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness, and that is why, that is the reason. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows or above thy companions. This is the secret of Jesus' life and the joy that he had to the overflowing even on the last day on this earth. And this can be ours. This joy can be ours. And this peace can be ours. He is called the Prince of Peace. And Jesus said in the same discourse, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. But my peace I give unto you." His peace was undisturbed all through his life. He never had to put his head down and wonder what's happening. Nothing took him by surprise because he knew that God the Father is in control of everything. And nothing befalls without his permission. Not a hair from your head will perish without your Father knowing it, he said to his disciples. Such is the security that you and I can have. It's not only for some chosen few or for the disciples of Jesus there. Even in the 21st century, those who come to him in repentance and ask his forgiveness and acknowledge their iniquity and acknowledge that they are sinners, for such there is hope. And those self-righteous people who think so highly of themselves, who think no end of themselves, who think they have not sinned. I come across a couple of people like that. When I asked them, "Have you repented of your sins?" They told me, of course it may be their lack of scripture knowledge or maybe lack of revelation on their sinfulness, they told me they have not sinned. When the Bible categorically says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is no one righteous, not even one. When the Bible says, I would rather agree with that. I'd rather go along with what God says about me than what I think about myself. I too thought I was a good boy. When somebody asked me, "Have you been born again?" I detested that word because I grew up in a denomination where they didn't believe in that. And then by God's mercy, he opened my eyes to see what a wretch I was. And that was the day I gave my life to the Lord, when that brother opened up the scriptures to me, about 50 to 60 verses he quoted, and he showed me which I never knew. Even though I was born in a Christian family and grew up as a good boy, attending Sunday school, winning prizes and all that. That was the day I was convicted of my sins, and I acknowledged my sins and asked the Lord to forgive me. That was the day of my salvation. And for such people, it says, when they come to Zion, everlasting joy shall they find. It will be on their heads. They come with shouts of joy, singing, rejoicing. Their life will take a different turn altogether. They were going in one direction, and the Lord turns them around and they take a U-turn. They had put God back and they were pursuing their own happiness or whatever pursuit. But when the Lord touches them, that is repentance, that I make a 180 degree turnabout. A U-turn I take. I turn around back to God and my back to the world and to my pleasures and sins that I was after. And this can be yours and mine by acknowledging our sins and asking the Lord to forgive and cleanse us from all our iniquities. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our iniquities and give us a new life, a new heart, and a new mind. So today you can be one such. If you're wandering and if you're seeking for joy and peace and happiness, this is your day that the Lord has made, that you can rejoice and be glad along with other saints who have found this way. This verse says in Romans chapter 15 verse 13, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." If you are like a doubting Thomas, you will not experience this. This is for those who in simple faith come to Him and believe Him, that you can have it. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Abounding in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit is something that Jesus promised when He was speaking to that sinful woman at the well of Samaria. He made a statement there in chapter 4 of John's Gospel. Chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus said, "But whoever drinks of the water of this well," verse 13, "shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, he shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." You see, this is what I wanted to highlight this morning. A person, when he believes in Jesus and takes hold of His promises by faith, His promises which are not a lie, but they are truths, and they are spoken to us by the one who cannot lie. He says, "The water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water." It's not just a well of water, that water springing up to eternal life. Have you seen some springs of water? It's one thing to have a well where the water will be at certain level and you draw it up. But there is another kind of well where the water keeps gushing out of the surface. And you can see some natural fountains where the fountain is always throwing up water, bubbling, bubbling. That's the kind of picture that Jesus is giving to this woman. "The one who believes in me shall, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water." It's not well, it's not just the cup of salvation that the psalmist speaks about. It's not just the well that Jesus speaks about here. Same Jesus, further down in chapter 7, he said, verse 37, I think, he said, "He who believes in me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters." Have you seen some of these rivers up north in India? Some of these Ganga and Brahmaputra and Yamuna rivers, they are all the time flowing because they have a source in the Himalayas. Even during summer, when the sun melts the snow and the ice, the rivers are full, be it summer, winter, or rain, they're always full to the overflowing. So our life can be such. We can come to a place where, like Paul said, they were telling him, if you go to this place, you will be like this and you will be like that. In chapter 20 we read of Acts. I mean, they will bind and they will hand you over. And the prophet Agabus, he prophesied. Many were discouraging him, but you know what he said? Why are you breaking my heart? I am not only ready to go there, I am ready to go and die there also. How did this person have this kind of boldness and this kind of attitude? In spite of, in the face of all persecution, and he knew it was a certain death, he never feared that. He was determined to go, just like Jesus. He set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem, it says. Because he knew that he was going to be crucified there. And when he was talking about his crucifixion, one of his disciples, Peter, he took him aside and he started rebuking him, said, it should never happen to you, Lord. And Jesus recognized that voice from where it came. You know, he gave one of the strongest rebukes to Peter, which he had never given to any human being on this earth. He lambasted the Pharisees and the scribes many a time. You read that in Matthew 23. And he pronounced oaths on them, but never he had used that word that he used on Peter. He called the Pharisees vipers and sons of vipers and hypocrites and so many things. Whitewashed tombs and all that. But he never used that word called Satan to any human being but to his closest disciple, Peter. When Peter wanted to divert Jesus by human compassion, he recognized the voice and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." And the strongest rebukes are reserved for those whom the Lord loves the most. And to Judas, you know what Jesus said. He called him friend when he came and kissed him. He didn't call him Satan, even though he was possessed by Satan, it says. After he took part of the bread and wine, Satan himself came and possessed him. And then he went away from their midst. And it says it was night. Such Jesus is with us. You know, we can experience this kind of joy only when we come to a place of repentance. And tears and sorrow, they always precede holiness and cleansing and sanctification. And then joy follows. A person who is cleansed and washed and has assurance in his heart that his sins have been forgiven and all the guilt has been gone and taken away, all the burden has been lifted. What do you think will be the response of that man? He will be bubbling with joy, jumping and shouting. He becomes a new creation. Old things have passed away and behold, everything has become new. He is a new person. Nobody can stop him. And your life changes. And it changes for the better. We read about a beautiful word in Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17 verse 22, it says, A joyful heart is good medicine. Are you taking medicine to be happy? Here is the prescription. A joyful heart is a good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. There's a still better word in chapter 15, verse 13. It says, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. You want to have a cheerful face, always have a joyful heart. The joy that comes from the Lord, the joy that Jesus gives, the joy of whom even the Apostle Paul spoke in Philippians 4:4. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And he didn't stop there. And he said, again I say, rejoice. Remember that verse, brothers and sisters. We are called to rejoice and not to go around with a long face. It says next, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. When the heart is sad, the spirit is broken, and a broken spirit, who can know it or who can heal it? Further down in verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are bad. You know, when you are constantly under stress, under sorrow, under grief, you know, your vitality, your strength gets drained away, and your immune system becomes weak, and you will not be able to fight sickness and diseases in your body, and you will become sick, and you may die prematurely if you are the kind of person who is always melancholic, sad, always, you have always something against somebody. You are not released people, you are not forgiven them. Jesus said, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Release and you shall be released. And if you don't want to do that, you want to have your hold on somebody's throat, then even God cannot help you. But it says in verse 15, the second part, a cheerful heart has a continual feast. A cheerful heart has a continual feast. Means you want to be enjoying a feast all the time, continually, 24/7. Here is the recipe. A cheerful heart has a continual feast, and that comes only by the one who had it while he walked on this earth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to him this morning and ask him, Lord, my condition is like this. I have been holding grudges against people. I have not forgiven certain people. My throat is always on their neck, on their throat. No wonder I am in this pitiful condition. Lord, forgive me as I forgive them. Because that's what you prayed, right? In the Lord's Prayer we say, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus takes you by your word. He forgives you as you forgive those who sin against you. He goes on to the next verse after the Lord's, we call it the Lord's Prayer. It is not the Lord's Prayer, it is our prayer, which the Lord taught us. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. And after that, Jesus said, if you, further again, he emphasizes on one point, do not forgive others from your heart, even your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Can you think of somebody who is not forgiven in heaven? None will be there in heaven who has not forgiven a human being on earth. That's the condition. If you want forgiveness, forgive others. Just as you have been forgiven, just as you have been shown mercy. And then joy and gladness will just flood your heart, because you just cannot prevent water from flowing downhill. You just cannot prevent it. You see, all the places where we had floods this year, that was always and always floods will be in low-lying areas. And when you humble yourself and take a lowly place before the Lord in repentance, then this kind of life is yours, brother. You don't have to run after that. That will just flow towards you. That is the law of nature, and that is the law of God also. To the humble He gives grace, and God is opposed to the proud. And if you are happy like this, a happy face scares the devil away. A happy face always is something that the devil hates. He always wants to hang around with people who are sorrowful, who are going around with long face and with unforgiveness in their heart. Such kind of people will not enjoy a good life. They will not enjoy good health. They will not have good night's sleep. If you want all that, come to the Lord and obey what He says, and fulfill the conditions, and this kind of life can be yours. We also read about when we are faced with temptations, we don't have to say, "Oh boy, another temptation is coming." No. James says in James chapter 1 verse 12, concerning temptations, what should be our attitude towards temptation? He says, "Blessed is the man," not "pity the man." "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." And verse 2, he says, "Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials." He is not pitying those people who are going to face trials and temptations. He is telling them, consider it not just joy, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials and temptations. When you come to a place where you are being tempted or tested or tried, don't think, "Boy, how can I do it?" The Lord is with you. As the Bible says, Jesus was also tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find help, and that we may find mercy for our past sins, and help for our future in time of need. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. So count it all joy. Why joy? Because you know that tests are always going to promote you, right? No examination is given to you in order to fail you. All examination, tests and trials are only given with a view to make us more progress, make us, you know, become better and go to a higher class That's the main reason for all testings and trials and temptations. And when we take it in that spirit, then our life will be glorious, and it becomes better. And there is a, we can read that verse once more in Acts chapter 20, what Paul says. Acts chapter 20, verse 10 onwards, I'll just read here and there. Agabus came down from Judea, the last part of verse 10, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says, that in this way the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And when we heard this, we as well as the local residents began begging him not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem." This is in chapter 21, verse 13. "I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord." That was his determination. And in chapter 20, 24, he says, "I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus." His only purpose in life was to finish the task that the Lord had called him for. He wanted to do that, and he did it. And he said that in 2 Timothy. He says, "I fought a good fight, I finished my course." And he did that. And he didn't shrink back from whatever torture or persecution or even death. Ultimately, he was beheaded, we know. He didn't flinch back. He went straight ahead because he knew that it's better to be with the Lord than to be here in this cursed earth. So such was the man, and we are called to walk in the footsteps of such people and be followers of Jesus like Peter and John, James and the rest. And that's our calling, brothers and sisters. And live your life in such a way that when the Lord comes, he doesn't have to turn his face away from us and say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." He need not say that, because we still have time. We can repent. We can come back to him. I remember reading, I want to close with this, somewhere I read this, that in some church they put a line saying that, "Live your life in such a way that we don't have to lie about you at your funeral." You got it? Live your life in such a way that we don't have to lie about you at your funeral. How true it is. If you really loved the Lord and lived according to his will and pleased him, and your call comes and the Lord calls you home, nobody will have to tell any lies about you. They can always say something good about you. Don't let Like the church's pastor said, don't let us tell lies about you at your funeral. Live in such a way that God is pleased, just like he was pleased with Jesus. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. May the Lord bless these words. And
praise the Lord for the word what we heard. God always fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich empty. That's the principle of God. It's good to come before the Lord with hunger. I was thinking about this verse in John chapter 4. Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, verse 10. Came home to me. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. I think of this as in light of the verse we thought, if I know my lack and ask him, Lord, you give me. Lord, you can give me. I don't have. I have joy sometimes on Sunday and I can sustain before people. But Lord, I need that living water. We will ask him. We can ask him. We can hope in him and he will give it to us. And also we can turn to John chapter 21. Here, verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of large fish, 153. This was the catch. With one word of Jesus, he got that. And then, verse 15, we see this, that Jesus asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Jesus wanted to give him much more than this. Much more than this. Maybe word for us that Jesus wants to give us much more than the joy what we have. And his desire is that, do you love me more than these things? We see that. Jesus blessed them with such a big catch and also he fed them. And Jesus is next asking, are you okay with this, the big catch, blessings? And also I fed you, I took care of all your need, health, wealth. Do you love me more than this? Or in other words, do you desire company with me? Like we hear that word, I think Matthew 11:30, it says, keep company with me. And the Message rendering says, would you like to keep company with me, or are you satisfied with these things? And Jesus asked thrice, do you love me? Do you love me? In fact, when Peter caught that, and when John said, that's Lord, then he threw everything. He threw his cloth and came running to Jesus. He did not even pull it up. Only after Jesus said, bring some fish also, then he pulled it up. He had that commitment to the Lord and love for the Lord. Despite of that, Jesus asked, Peter, no matter what would be your problem and difficulties, you may go through, or you may go through blessings, but do you desire something more than this? Do you like to keep company with me? Do you desire my relationship? That's what comes home to my heart. The Lord asks us, do you want company with me? Because, see, he is the source of joy. It is not our blessings our health and strength, all that we earn, or life we live, that is not the source of joy. Source of joy is the author. He's the source of joy. He has the living water. No matter what happens, like we heard James 1 says, when you go through sufferings, rejoice. In fact, Jesus said, when you are persecuted for my name's sake, one of the versions says, jump for joy. How that will come? It will not come by practicing. We cannot practice. It is impossible to practice. It's if we are in touch with Him, in touch with Him. That's why Jesus said, abide in me. I want to read another verse in John chapter 2. Here it says, verse 23. When He was in Jerusalem at Passover during the feast, many believed in His name, beholding His signs which He was doing. They believed in Him by seeing the signs. And then it says, but Jesus, on His part, was not entrusting Himself to them, for He knew all men, because He did not need anyone to bear witness concerning man. It so shows that Jesus knows our heart, but His desire is that He wants to keep a relationship with us. That is what Jesus desires from us. Then only the joy follows. When I repent of all this, Lord, I don't need anything. Like Psalmist says, I don't desire anything on this earth or in heaven, Lord. Only You I need. When I have that attitude, Lord, I need You. I want You. I'm not really thrilled by all the blessings and miracles. Then Jesus says, yes, I entrust myself to You. I would like to keep company with You. Like the scripture says many places, do not associate with so-and-so. Paul writes, do not associate with so-and-so. And also scripture says, associate with those who are lowly in heart. So Jesus also would like to keep His relationship with those who are lowly in heart, which we need to seek. Then we can draw that joy and strength from Him. That's the source of joy I see. And also that our desire to how we can have this, we need to thirst to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep company with the Holy Spirit. That's why Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We cannot grieve the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, fill me. No, He will not come in our hearts. We need to desire, Holy Spirit, no matter what happens, I want You with me. I don't want to displease You. I don't want to grieve You. I want You to be with me. That's why Romans 14:17 says, kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's righteousness. Or righteousness is what? I try to please Him. I want to make Him happy. In fact, Nehemiah 8:10 says, joy of the Lord is your strength. That is, I want to make Him happy. I want to please Him. Jesus never pleased Himself. Romans 15:3. He pleased only the Father. So that's why God was associating with Him. Father was associating with Him. Today, how Holy Spirit can associate with us? Our desire, primary desire should be, I want to keep company with You. I don't want to grieve You. Then the joy follows and the Holy Spirit dwells in our heart. And I would like to read. Righteousness, I was saying. Righteousness is I want to please Him. Then when I seek to please Him, the peace follows in my life. And the Holy Spirit fills my heart. And the joy of the Holy Spirit fills my heart. The joy which comes through the Holy Spirit. When He abides with our heart. And I would like to end with this Psalm 16. It's a beautiful psalm. I would like to read it from Living Version. It blessed my heart as I was reading. Actually, the last verse which says, In NASB it says, "Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there is pleasure forever." Where is joy? Joy is not in what I get, what I earn, what I accomplish. No, joy is in His presence. If I seek with all my heart His presence in my life, in my heart, in my finance, in my home, in my work, then joy fills my heart. Joy will follow. Holy Spirit will help me. And I would like to read this. So verse 1, Psalm 16, Living Bible says, "Save me, O God, because I have come to you for refuge." I said to him, "You are my Lord, I have no other help but yours. I want the company of godly men and women in the land. They are the true nobility." See, it's all talking about relationship. "Those choosing other gods shall be filled with sorrow. I will not offer the sacrifices they do or even speak the name of their gods." I disassociate with certain things to keep company with God. "The Lord Himself is my inheritance, my prize. He is my food and drink, my highest joy. He guards all that is mine. He sees that I am given pleasant brooks and meadows as my share." What a wonderful inheritance. This is the blessing of God. God's presence with us and the joy and peace follows. "I will bless the Lord who counsels me. He gives me wisdom in the night." We need wisdom in the night as we go forward in the coming days. We need wisdom in the night. The night is falling quickly. We need wisdom and discernment. The Lord holding our hands. He tells me what to do. We don't get to read in books. He will hold our hand and tell us, "This is the right way, you walk in it. You do, this is right." "I'm always thinking of the Lord, and because He's so near, I never need to stumble or to fall." This blessing is only when He is close to us, rather if we are close to Him. "Heart, body and soul are filled with joy." As we heard, the health comes along. Even if we don't have health, joy comes along. The Holy Spirit will come along. "For you will not leave me among the dead. You will not allow your beloved one to rot in the grave. You have let me experience the joys of life and the exquisite pleasures of your own eternal presence." May the Lord help us to seek His presence in these days so that the joy and peace follow, so that we can be a better witness and pure witness, powerful witness to others. Amen.